This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcasts.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Doug Scott.
I don't think enough thought is done or goes into how to translate an organization's brand into video from the brand strategist's perspective. We used to make, back when I had my brand strategy company, we used to make the guide, you know, the brand guide. The parts that we really emphasized were obviously brand experience and then the visual aesthetic.
Doug is the founder and CEO of Tectonic Video, a leading video agency for nonprofits. His team works with nonprofits across the U.S. and around the world to create award-winning videos that drive results. His work has been featured in the New York Times, NPR, CNN, and Adweek, and he is a frequent guest lecturer at Stanford University on the power of storytelling for nonprofit organizations. Doug, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you very much, Nick. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to chat, too. We were talking a bit beforehand about our audience of brand builders, and you mentioned your background also in running a brand strategy firm. But I wanted to say, fear not in terms of being relevant, because I feel like your current work specifically in the video space is something that's of interest because video's the thing these days, yes?
It is the thing, and it is continuing to grow.
It's the scientific term. It's the thing. So
yeah,
why is it so? I mean, I feel like it's what we're used to by now seeing on trend lists, and as we get close to rolling over another year, I would feel safe in predicting, yes, more video. Why is video so effective and engaging?
Well, you're right that video is continuing to be ascendant in all brand communications. Mark Zuckerberg recently said that video will look like as big of a shift in the way that we all share and communicate as mobile has been. And that's quite a statement to make, to think about the transition between desktop to mobile and what that might mean for video as well. And I think the reasons behind it are video is just exceptionally powerful form of communication. The reasons why are video is extremely efficient. Practically speaking, it takes 60 seconds to read 250 words. But in that same 60 seconds, a video could show you dozens of images that are rich in color and detail and context that require thousands of written words to communicate. Video is also highly engaging. It's the only medium that combines all the others: images and music, design, the human voice, text. And it engages numerous learning styles in ways that other mediums aren't unable to do. And then lastly, some of the research that I've been seeing, it's more and more preferred when presented as an option for viewers over other forms of communication. On social media, Facebook's research labs concluded that video content is viewed 5 times longer than static content, and that video content's often shared more frequently and generates more engagement. And that in another study I saw that when research, that the research that they did, that when video and text are both available on the same web page, 72% of people choose to watch the video rather than read the copy. And that one's preference for video increases as your age decreases. So if you're wanting to reach and connect with younger supporters and prospective donors, at least in our world of working in the nonprofit space, video is key, and it's only increasing in importance.
That's really interesting, especially the note on age there. You talked about some Facebook stats and about the Zuckerberg quote just now. And I think that is a logical kind of clarification to make, too, because how should we be thinking about video? Because you talk about social media and social media marketing. Where does video marketing, how should we think about that hierarchically, not to get into the tall grass? Because video is not a social media. Of course, there's YouTube, but video is this tool that increasingly is the way that we need to be engaging and thinking about how we're engaging on social media. So are those concentric circles? Do they overlap? How should we be thinking about that?
I think it's still a cascade approach. I mean, we still, as someone who used to run, as you mentioned, I used to run a brand strategy and web design company working with nonprofits. As someone who starts from that perspective, it's still the primary thing needs to be thinking about what the brand is about, thinking about brand values, thinking about how it expresses itself visually. I mean, that's where you need to start. And that video then is something that comes after that. And it's a way of using the things that you've already decided upon for your brand to communicate in a different medium. Thinking about this conversation today, one thing I really wanted to emphasize is that I don't think enough thought is done or goes into how to translate an organization's brand into video from the brand strategist's perspective. We used to make, back when I had my brand strategy company, we used to make the guide, you know, the brand guide, that beautiful work of art that we put so much time and effort into that gets put into a digital shelf somewhere and no one looks at it again. But the parts that we really emphasized were obviously brand experience and then the visual aesthetics and key messaging. And back when I was doing that work before, we very rarely included even a section on video storytelling. And today, on the other side, now that we're all doing, my whole company is focused on video production for nonprofits. We'll always ask our new clients, please share your brand guide with us. And the same experience, great stuff in there about brand experience and all the text and color and all that stuff, which is helpful. Yet there's nothing there that's really demonstrated people that put the time into thinking through how their brand will translate specifically into this medium of video. And I think that's a huge growth area and opportunity for brand strategists moving forward, is to have a section at very tactically speaking, have a section in your brand guide that is about video storytelling, and then put the effort into thinking about how you're going to translate all those things that you've been building for the brand into video. Besides just text and values and such, like how are you going to tell stories? What types of imagery are you looking to use? What is the brand experience of video? Is it any different than the brand experience that someone might get when they're visiting the website or other types of communication that they're interacting with your organization?
So you're talking my language when you say things like a useful style guide versus something that goes up and sits on the shelf and is never heard from again. But we needed one. We needed to check the box. So I'm all about conversations that reinforce that these need to be useful guides as opposed to artifacts on the shelf. And I'm sure a lot of folks listening out there are thinking, oh my gosh, she's totally right. What do we do? What does that look like? How can we, what is an example of a useful style guide reference on incorporating some of that visual video storytelling?
Great question. My first thought is that we need to really think about how stories are going to be told in a way that reinforce your brand values. Is there a way that is the way that you're wanting to tell your stories? And as you know, there are many different types of stories that every organization tells. We've identified 5, sometimes 6 different types of video content that every organization needs to have. Again, we're focused on nonprofits, so we're truly focused on the nonprofit experience. But there is the brand overview film, or the brand film, or the organizational overview. That film really is a restatement of your case for support. And that's the one I think that can really hew most closely to the brand values and the brand experience that's espoused in, you know, the overall brand guide and brand direction that you're taking for your organization. Where it gets a little more nuanced is when you're looking at some of the other types of communication that you would want to have through video. And that is around client testimonials or customer testimonials. Is there a type of way that you want to tell those in a way that really reinforces your brand values? Next up would be if you're making any kind of content around campaigns, is there a certain way that you're wanting to emphasize the work that you do, the brand promise that you're trying to fulfill, you know, spelling that out in a section on your brand guide. And, you know, I will be the first to say that when you get into actually scripting something, everything is up for debate. I mean, video is a fascinating communications medium because there's so many ways that you can take anything. Like you can take so many decisions get made along the way that can affect the story or affect the visuals and who you're telling the story about. It opens up a whole new world of visuals and storytelling. So that will certainly be nuanced based upon the individual video piece that you're creating. Yet it would be so helpful to have these touchstones of brand that have already been articulated for video specifically that we could go back to in order to make sure that we're aligning with the values of the organization, telling the story in a way that they have already intentionally thought about. You know, very often we'll get into a situation where we're making a piece for a client and we're kind of leading that. Like we're the ones trying to translate, and which is fine. And we love that. And it's fun. But there have been so many instances where the way that we tell a story or the way that we message something, actually, they get written into the brand guide after we finish with our work, which is, you know, very satisfying for us because, you know, there should be that type of intentionality that goes into your video storytelling. And wherever it comes from with you, I think it makes more sense that it would come from the brand itself, directing people that are telling their story through video. But, you know, we're happy as well to kind of return the favor and say, okay, here's how we think the best way is to communicate your brand values through video.
Hey, On Brand listeners. We talk about a lot of brand building topics here on the show, from developing strong brands to brand stories to building engaged superfans for your brand, both internally and externally. If these are topics that you're working through or struggling with, I'd love to help. I regularly schedule one-time or ongoing brand coaching sessions with clients based on their unique needs. Are you building a new brand? I'd love to help. Struggling with rebranding? I'd love to help. Do you want to create an engaged community around your brand? I'd love to... You get the idea. I've worked with clients of all shapes and sizes, from Fortune 500 companies to small businesses and startups. I've also interviewed hundreds of experts right here on the On Brand podcast and written 2 books. I can apply all of this to the challenges that you're struggling with. To learn more about working personally with me, Nick Westergaard, go to nickwestergaard.com, that's Westergaard with 2 A's, or email me at nick@branddrivendigital.com. Now back to the show.
So it sounds like you're talking about some of these set piece videos as being essential to the brand, the overview video, the testimonial video, the campaign video. Are there other types of videos that organizations should consistently be making?
Yes. Beyond those three, there's a couple others that are more in the nice to have category, and a lot of organizations might not need them. You probably have to be at a certain size and a certain, you know, cadence of wanting to communicate that you would need. But other ones that we've done as well are looking at internally facing communication. So around HR, to be able to produce content for a larger organization, for them to have like a all hands on deck meeting, or, you know, taking that weekly CEO email and having it be something a little bit more vibrant every once in a while, of having a video of different people in your organization sharing about their work. That's an important way you can use video. Also for the talent acquisition and hiring process, we do a number of culture videos trying to, help people who are potentially applying for jobs at your organization understand the culture, make sure it's a good fit before they get too deep into the process of applying for a job there. And then lastly, social media. Social media can encompass all of those types of videos I just shared about. And yet, there are certain rules as well that apply only to social that would be good for a brand strategist to think through. With Tectonic Video, my company, we realize how much this is a pain point for people of knowing how to create content that works well on social, that we conducted a study this year. We think it's the largest study ever conducted of video for nonprofits, at least that we've ever seen. We took 778 nonprofit organizations and looked at all of their video posts across Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for 1 year, for the year of 2019, and began to pull apart the data that we found. After looking at 45,000 different data points on those video posts, we put together some key findings that are specific to social media. And, just a quick two or three things that people might find interesting. There is some kinds of stories on social media that generate much more engagement than other kinds of stories. We identify five different key stories on social. A lot of them are very time-based. So it's like that moment that someone hears the news that something happened, or they get something and they're filming that real-time reaction of seeing their emotion in a very unscripted and real-time way. That's like the most effective and most engaging type of content to put on social. The emotional client testimonials or beneficiary testimonials in our sense for the nonprofit space, those are huge. Timely things as well that are very topical based upon the time of year or a certain date or an event that's coming up that gets a lot of engagement on social. So the type of content's really important. And we recommend just like, here are the five types that are most engaging, just cycle through those. That's a way that you can just continue to increase engagement overall, make those algorithms love the work that you're doing and continue to share or send your work out then through your followers' networks. But other things that are really important are length. We found in our study that the most engaging length of a video is a minute or less. Not a big surprise, but a lot of people put a ton of time and effort into that 4-minute social media video only to be disappointed that it doesn't quite hit. There's certainly a place for a 4-minute video, but expecting it to really connect on social would be an exception rather than the norm. And then another thing too is that production value does not correlate with engagement on social media. So you don't have to put a lot of money into producing a well professionally created video. Using your iPhone is just fine. And in most of the time, actually, we found that those perform slightly better than the more highly produced videos.
That's fascinating. I want to repeat that for everyone out there that Doug just said, your iPhone is just fine. Because I think a lot of times when video shows up on all of the trend lists, so many of us get paralyzed thinking, I can't even begin to, that's this whole thing that I can't do anything with. And of course, there's different types of videos that you just walked us through that you need and may have some different production values. But some of these that folks can be creating on their own are critical. And I love that last point that you said, in some cases, they perform even better. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because a visual language has been established and a type of storytelling has been established on social that it is the thing that people would expect. They expect these kind of firsthand, visceral, often real-time types of storytelling that you see all the time from your friends and family on social media and from news organizations as well. News gets a ton of engagement on social media. So by you joining into that same type of storytelling, it just feels natural, I think. And then a lot of times as well, it feels very authentic.
Yeah.
One of the challenges that brands often face and that we are trying to continually counter in the video work that we do is making it feel too polished, too prescriptive, too market tested. And you don't have that if it really is, user generated video. A lot of the stuff that we found that was so we looked at the 778 nonprofits. Some of the most engaging content was user generated, submitted content to those brands. So a client or someone that was, a customer of that organization took a video, sent it to the brand then put it on their channel, and that was some of the most engaging content that that brand had. So even stuff that's coming from your people that benefit from your work can be as engaging, if not more so, because it's even more authentic in that sense that it's not coming directly from you. You're just highlighting someone else's firsthand experience.
Yeah, you brought up the other word we hear a lot as brand builders, and that's authenticity, and kind of rewinding back to why does video matter so much. I think what you just said is a big part of it, is because it's like really no other tool out there. It can move the needle on making this monolithic brand that is a logo that doesn't always have a lot of personality. It can very quickly, like you said, establish and communicate a great deal of personality and authenticity about organizations as well.
Absolutely. One thing that reminds me of that I could have said earlier about what would be helpful to include in a brand guide when thinking about how to translate your brand into video is which messengers are you most looking to focus on? I've been seeing this in a few different spheres that I'm involved in now. This, and you've probably had it or heard it before too, and your listeners have as well, that the messenger is more important than the message, especially in this current political climate. A number of political organizations have really doubled down on that idea, that it is not the slick professional or even like the celebrity that's the one that is delivering the message. Having it come from real people who are just sharing their point of view is more powerful than anything that can come directly from a brand. And to think through, you know, who those messengers are going to be, which ones that you want to highlight, and putting that into your brand values and your brand guide, making those decisions would be extremely helpful for people like me on the video side of like figuring out how we want to position you, how we want to talk about your work, and who we want to highlight when we do that.
So we've been talking a lot about the types of videos and its relationship with brand strategy. I want to talk a little bit about the industry where you spend a lot of time, and that's the nonprofit sector. And certainly this right now is a hard time for organizations of all shapes and sizes, but especially nonprofits out there. And I know if there's folks listening that are nonprofits that are struggling, what's a way that video can help them out in this most challenging of times?
Well, I'm extremely grateful that videos have nonprofit. I'm sorry, that nonprofits. Let me take that again.
I'm sure there is a nonprofit out there that is helping videographers. And if not, maybe you should start one.
There actually is. Yes, you're right. There actually is. What I was trying to say was I'm so grateful that nonprofits have video to utilize during this season, of which you can't even meet in person a lot of the time. Video has been the thing that can save relationships, build relationships during this time frame, when so much of the work that nonprofits do, which is very often very relationship intensive, being in person makes it very difficult to do that during these days. Video can be a huge help in those ways. So the main pain points that our clients have been experiencing during COVID here and how video is helping to mitigate them is in donor relations. You can't sit down across the lunch table from one of your donors or pitch somebody new on the importance of your work in person, or you have to do it with a mask on, which isn't too great. And so people have been turning to doing personalized videos, again, mostly user-generated stuff, where they're just using that as a way and sending that out to a potential donor or existing donor to thank them for the work, show them the work that's going on, asking clients to record personalized videos for major donors. So, you could ask a client who'd be willing to do so, you know, this is a video for Tom and Sally, who are some of our biggest donors. Would you just be willing to tell them a little bit about how we've been able to impact your life? And it's very personal. And that's what really, I think we've seen people really engaging with that. If it's the more personal, the more special it is, and the more it really makes the donors feel like you appreciate and see them. So donor stuff is huge. The other thing, again, around fundraising is around events. So no big in-person galas, which is often the biggest fundraising event in a given year for nonprofit organizations. So we've pivoted with our clients and we've done 4 virtual events so far, where the entire thing is a combination of us filming stuff and then recording things on Zoom and putting it together into a live stream. And, you know, those events certainly are not the same kind of experience as you would have if you were in the room with a bunch of other donors and seeing the work of your organization in person. But it's been surprisingly effective. I think people are just also very grace-filled during this time to be like, well, wow, they're doing something still. You know, and we've seen that that's been really, really helpful to do virtual events over video during this time.
That is so key. And again, like you said, probably the easiest equation in there is at a time when it is so hard to build those relationships, this is an essential tool in doing that, like you said, in this most challenging of times. Doug, as we start to wrap things up here, it is time to ask for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Well, at the risk of turning off some of your listeners, again, based upon the political climate, there have been so many interesting things that have been done by different groups during this season. And the one that comes to mind that has just, I think, broken new ground. A lot of people love them. A lot of people don't love them. It's a group called the Lincoln Project. They are a group of disaffected Republicans who have left the Republican Party and began making content looking to end Donald Trump's presidency. And they came out of nowhere. And in the matter of just a few short months have generated enormous amounts of a conversation around their work. Their work is very bold. Some of it's over the top and too much for me to take. Other times it's very thoughtful and sometimes very funny. And I often will find myself smiling through my tears as I watch their videos. This mix of emotions of sadness and laughter and excitement and just a lot of emotions going on there. But from a brand perspective, they're very simple. They have really demonstrated an aesthetic visually that is, in my opinion, it's very minimal. They're not too concerned about how it extends into everything, but what they're most known for is their tone. And I don't know whether they have a brand guide or whatever, but I think if they did, they would have very clear ideas and language around what their tone is going to be, how they're going to communicate. You can, when you watch one of their videos, you know instantly without seeing who the author is, you know instantly that it's that group that put it out, because they've just really nailed and provided a consistent brand experience with their video content. So Lincoln Project is my answer to that question.
I think that's fascinating, and it's really, I guess it's on brand for this conversation, because it's video and social media. I mean, that's where you're seeing this, and you've, like you said, got these disaffected ad makers who are using their powers to, you know, it's kind of like a super group, first of all, put together of people with these skills that any one of them has tremendous experience, but then to be kind of Avengers assembling on this particular project. Yeah, it has been interesting to watch, and yeah, that begs the question of what things are like behind the scenes. They on the Showtime series The Circus, that goes behind the scenes of the campaign, they interviewed some of the folks there, and you saw behind the scenes a little bit. But I'd love an answer to your style guide question. Doug, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Our best place for doing that is our website, Tectonic, TECTONIC, .video, no .com or anything, just .video. So tectonic.video, you can see our work, you can learn about our process, and just reach out to us there. We'd love to chat with you, and we love helping nonprofits and corporate social responsibility. We do some CSR work as well, communicate their stories through video and build their brands.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Doug, thanks for being on brand with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Nick. Thanks for doing what you're doing.
And a reminder, if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.